We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Emmanuel Rivera Stan podcast. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as the founding member of the Emmanuel Rivera fan club. I am here with my vice president of the club. It's the one and only Thunderstick Jesse Friedman.
We did officially become an Emmanuel Rivera Stan account yesterday. It is now official. Yep. We only care about Emmanuel Rivera. Nobody else matters on this podcast from this point forward. Nobody. So there you go.
That's what this is. We're just going to talk about Emmanuel's favorite recipes, what he does to prepare in the morning, what music he's listening to and things like that. So we hope you appreciate the format change. Of course, this show is still brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top rated sportsbook app. Jesse, let's go. Let's go. Now we officially have to factor Emmanuel Rivera into the Paul Goldschmidt trade going forward.
Oh my gosh.
Here until the end of time. He is now part of this. He is part of this, and I love it, and I'm here for it.
It was an incredible series for him, and obviously the two homers in the game yesterday. We very perfectly timed our tweet earlier that day when we said Emmanuel Rivera plays baseball today. Today is a good day. And then sure enough, Emmanuel Rivera homers in his first two at-bats in the game. And we know it's Coors Field, but both of those were pretty well hit anyway. So he's been an outstanding acquisition for this team, and he's doing it against both lefties and righties, which is not something that I don't think we really expected to see necessarily based on his numbers in Kansas City. It's been fun. It's been fun watching him. It's been good to see Josh Rojas over at second base, which I think is more of a natural position for him, even though he was doing really well at third. And the Diamondbacks won another series, Derek, and they did it in pretty dramatic fashion. These last couple games felt like they had a bit of an exclamation point at the end. So a lot of fun baseball this weekend.
Emmanuel Rivera currently, Jesse, has a 7-game hitting streak with his hit today. He entered today's game hitting .391 with a 1.505 OPS in 7 games since joining the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, the Arizona Emmanuels or the Arizona Riveras. I don't know what sounds better. I think it's the Arizona Riveras. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Whichever one. Emmanuel is with God. So I think the Diamondbacks have been with God as of late, because this team has been on a roll since the All-Star break, and good things continue to happen, right? This is another series win in a row for them, and they are doing the exact thing we implored them to do during this stretch. Like, they still have some series against this Rockies team and some other teams that are very winnable, but they also have a lot of games left, Jesse, against the Padres, the Giants, and unfortunately the Dodgers. As you pointed out in your tweet yesterday, if you take the Padres and the Dodgers out of the equation for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they have a positive run differential and they have a winning record.
Yeah. After today, I think it'd be 48-43. It's their record against teams that are not the Dodgers or the Padres, and they're now plus 36. In those games. So, and I mean, you think about that, like, I mean, any team's record is going to look pretty good, you know, when you take away the two opponents that they were worse against, right? I mean, that's just sort of the way it works.
Right. But especially division rivals that they play a lot, like they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Padres this season.
Right. So the outcome there is not necessarily shocking, but what I think is important to note here is that the Padres and the Dodgers are both spending you know, $200+ million on payroll. I think the Padres are around 200, and the Dodgers have been exceeding that figure for years. So when you factor in those things, like the Dodgers and the Padres are not the kind of franchises that a lot of teams have to deal with in their division. You know, like there aren't teams like that in the AL Central, right? So when you factor in just how good of a division this really is at the end of the day, you start to paint a picture of like a Diamondbacks team that in another division would probably be a pretty good team, like potentially an over 500 playoff contending team that unfortunately in the NL West, we just don't really get to see that because of the competition around them.
And I don't need to do this, but hey, Emma, can you go ahead and throw our spine on the X's graphic up really fast for me? Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to spy on our exes just for a quick there moment, Jesse, when it comes to this trade, because Luke Weaver is now a member of the Kansas City Royals. And in four games, he has a 9.00 ERA. So I think it's safe to say, at least in the short term, that the Diamondbacks have won this trade. Is it too early to call?
Yeah, we can judge trades after 2 weeks, right? That's how this works.
That's how it works. That's how it works. The man has a 9.00 ERA, Jesse. I'm calling it. Time of death, 4:06 p.m. Sunday, August 14th. This trade's done. And we appreciate you, Emma. Emma is elite, and I'm so glad to have Emma back. Is. No offense to Faj, aka Father Overlord Jacob, but Emma's our key. Anyway,
we have to give Faj a shout out on a day like this though, because Faj put in quite a bit of work into the video that we released earlier today, which hopefully all of you have seen by now.
Let's give credit where credit's due, Jesse. You did a phenomenal amount of work yourself. This is something that we have been working on for a very long time since the no-hitter actually happened. But if you get a chance, please check out all of Jesse, Jacob, and Sean's excellent work. Yay, Father Jacob. I love what is that? That's new. I love that.
I have never seen that.
I love it. But shout out to Father Jacob and Jesse and Sean for their work. If you haven't had a chance, go to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Check out the first edition of Unscripted. It follows up on the 1 year anniversary of Tyler Gilbert's no hitter, which was extremely improbable, extremely unlikely. And as Gilbert said himself in the interview, he didn't even have his best stuff that night, but it's an incredible yay, Father Jacob and baby boy, Sean, love you, Sean, AKA Young Rock, AKA Teenage Rock, High School Rock. But yeah, you guys did an awesome job on that. Big shout out to the Arizona Diamondbacks for joining us for that and for giving us their insight, because that really put that that entire thing over the top. But I think you did a great job of breaking down why that was so unlikely, including a stat that we've been talking about quite a bit, especially when it comes to Christian Walker this season, which is that expected batting average and how unlikely it is to have a no hitter with those ridiculous odds.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of that game, at one point in the video, I think it's about halfway through, I talk about how the probability of every batted ball up to that point going for an out was 0.25%, which is a 1 in 400 outcome. If you drag that out to the end of the game, Derek, you're looking at, you know, 1 in 10,000, like that sort of a level of outcome. I mean, it was insane what happened that day. And as Tyler said in the video, you know, it was a stars align sort of an occasion, right? Just the kind of moment that nobody can explain. It's just sort of baseball being baseball. Manny Machado hits a 112 mile an hour liner off the bat, and it's just like scalded right at David Peralta in left field. Like those kinds of things were happening throughout that game. It was really crazy.
I think Varsho said it best when he said most no hitters really are just a case of the ball finding the glove in a game a lot. Like you have your dominant pitching performances where the, you know, no hitter was greatly, the odds were greatly increased by strikeouts and the pitcher contributing much more. It's not to say that this was something that, you know, Tyler Gilbert didn't earn. He absolutely earned this. It just was one of those situations that was extraordinarily unlikely. Not to mention, if you factor in the fact that this is a guy that was doing electrical work with his father when the season began, and eventually made his major league debut as a starter the same year and throws a no-hitter that same night. That's just incredible. And again, kudos to the team for putting that together. You guys did an outstanding job. I implore you again to go check that out. It is the finest work that we've done. This podcast is all right, but that video, 5 stars. We deserve a 5-star review just for that. So if you're so inclined, subscribe to us on your favorite audio podcasting app. Leave us a 5-star review for the video. Also, if you're on YouTube checking that video out, make sure to subscribe to the PHNX Sports channel. Give us a thumbs up if you're watching us live right now, and sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever we go live, especially with this post-series show. Sometimes we get wacky times, like our man Jesse Friedman traveling while covering the Diamondbacks game and still getting here in time for our show, which, again, thank you, sir, for all of your work and for not getting stuck in traffic between here and California, because I know how that's a gamble.
It's a miracle.
It's a gamble anytime you take that ride. But this series has actually been a really good series for the Arizona Diamondbacks. One of the biggest keys for them has been starting pitching in regards to young starting pitching. Tommy Henry had an excellent outing today, even though it kind of got shaky there at the end. He didn't last very long, but still a very good outing for him. Zach Gallen continues to be lights out and has been in his last 5 starts. And Merrill Kelly was, did Merrill Kelly start in the series, or was it, am I mixing that up? Who started game one?
This series, so it was Zach Davies in game one.
Zach Davies, that, I apologize. Then, yeah. That's what I was like, Merrill Kelly was the Pirates series, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, no, Zach Davies. So starting pitching was good. Taking a look at the numbers, that's definitely what set the Diamondbacks apart in this series as far as the as far as the ERA for starting pitching is concerned. But the Diamondbacks obviously got the back at the Rockies in a couple of different ways. Not only did they have a better starting pitching ERA, the relief pitching ERA was in favor of the Rockies, but the Diamondbacks again had. Can we get the graphic up for the between by the numbers? There it goes.
There it is.
There it is. I'm all over the place without the actual numbers looking up there. All right. Diamondbacks, obviously starting ERA here, Jesse, the thing that set them apart. Everything else, pretty similar. Diamondbacks, again, struggled with runners in scoring position just a little bit, but both teams had an extraordinarily high number of chances with runners in scoring position today in particular in the series.
Yeah, today the D-backs had 11 and the Rockies had 13. So the D-backs were 3-for-11 in the game today. So that was a decent boost for them all in all. But yeah, the D-backs starting pitching was really good in the series. I know Zach Davies didn't have his best stuff on Friday, but you know, you'll take like 5 innings around 3 runs in a start at Coors Field. And then, you know, 5 1/3, 3 runs from Tommy Henry today. That's also more than acceptable, especially for a younger pitcher like Tommy Henry. But Zach Gallen, Derek, I mean, Zach Gallen really stole the show on Saturday. 7 innings for the third time in his last 5 starts, 6 strikeouts, no runs allowed. Pulling that off in that ballpark is extraordinarily difficult. So I was just so impressed with what Gallen did in the game yesterday. He just continues to look better and better as the season goes on. Can we talk about the game yesterday, Derek? Like, I know the Sunday game was good, but the Saturday game, like, the Diamondbacks were like,
it was an ass kicking.
It absolutely was. Like, the Diamondbacks were like running circles around the Rockies, essentially. Yeah. And in the case of Dalton Varsho, they were literally running circles. He literally hit what arguably should have been an inside the park home run. I don't know. Blackman sort of bobbled it in the corner. Not it didn't look did like much of an error to me.
The most fucking lackadaisical run over ever. Like, I get why he was.
Yeah.
Because he was figuring it was going to careen off the wall more. So he didn't want to like charge in and then have it bounce out. You know, he was trying to keep it kind of in the corner and play it as it came, but it ended up looking like a lazy ass run. And then he bobbled it. So that causes it to be a triple with an error, which is bullshit because our short king deserved the in the park home run. Charles Woodall Pike says, can we appreciate that Alec catch some more? Alec coming in the end of the game, just to make an incredible save really fast. Oh, yeah, I know I was off today, but don't forget who the king is, and don't forget where my kingdom is. It's center field, and it stretches to every ballpark in baseball, Jesse.
So many people talk about, like, and I think this is true at Chase Field, too, just, like, how roomy the center field area is in the ballpark. It's true at Chase Field, and it's like doubly true at Coors Field. Like that is a massive, massive outfield. And for Alec Thomas, who doesn't have a lot of experience playing center field in that ballpark, to charge back and like perfectly time his jump, he absolutely robbed a home run. This wasn't like it was like a nice catch running into the fence, but like could have been a double. This absolutely would have been a home run. And I know the D-backs had a comfortable lead, so maybe the gravity of the situation wasn't quite as high as some of the other moments in the series. But he, I mean, the amount of proficiency that he has shown in center field this year is just insane. And I was looking the other day, Derek, at scouting reports of Alec Thomas. And he was not necessarily scouted as being an elite center fielder. It was sort of like above average defense, like a chance to stay in center, like might be better served moving to a corner outfield spot at some point where he would be like really good. But he is playing an outstanding center field. And I know I mentioned this briefly the other day, but I will be writing in short order here about the landscape for the Gold Glove Award and the National League at that position. I do think Alec Thomas is in the mix there.
Hey, and make sure to sign up for a membership if you haven't done so already, so you don't miss any of Jesse's incredible writings. Go to gophnx.com, sign up for a membership. If you get an annual membership, you'll get a free t-shirt like this one I'm wearing. I think that guy's got one on too. You can get your free t-shirt of your choosing. Break our hearts and get one of the other beats. That's fine. We don't care. We have thick skin. We're okay with it. But
we wear sun shirts like all the time. So
we really do. Fine. Actually, we didn't even coordinate wearing sun shirts the other day and it happened. So that's what happens around here. But we love our teams. We love all of our teams. But we want you to love the Diamondbacks. They deserve your love. So make sure to pick up one of our D-back shirts if you're interested in that over at the phnxlocker.com. That's Seth Cerveza's shirt. It's still fire. It's still fire. Whether he's starting, whether he's on the squad, whether he's in AAA, it doesn't matter. It's a fire shirt. And I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Seth Cerveza. It's a fictional cartoon character, and that's all I was saying. But anyway, if you can get that shirt or any shirt of your choosing, if you're an annual member, if you get the month-to-month option, we'll still hook you up with a free, not free, first month for just 50 cents. Practically free. Come on, 50 cents. Even Jesse would pay 50 cents for an app on his phone because it's not the 99 cents, so it doesn't push him over the edge. But
I don't know if that's true, if I'm being honest. I still don't think I would pay 50 cents.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
If baseball savant gave you a special app that just delivered the information you wanted seamlessly at any point, you wouldn't pay 50 cents for it one time? One time, Jesse? Come on.
I don't think so. I'm trying to think if like there's a point, like if there's a certain level where I would be willing to pay for an app. And there's also a difference between paying for the app up front and then like adding a subscription or something later on, because that somehow that is something I'm okay with doing, but I refuse.
You're like, I want to know what I'm getting into first before I pay anything for it. Yeah, for sure.
Correct.
But you would pay more than 50 cents for our membership to our website. And I know that for
I would.
You do. So anyway, make sure to sign up for a membership if you haven't done so already. You get members only access to our Discord, members only discounts at the PHNX Locker. And of course, you get us, you get Jesse, you get all of his wonderful writing and all the wonderful writing of all the writers here. We have the best staff. We really do. Gerald, Craig, everybody here is incredible. Even Totri, even though I wouldn't want to say it to his face, but Totri's all right. Anyway, join us here.
Wow, the slander in the comments. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of slander. Jesse, do you want to slander Tommy Henry really fast before we move on, or what's going on? You want to talk
so
about he's not that good because the only let's talk about it. Let's go ahead. Let's talk
sure,
about it.
Sure. So I have to admit on the front end here that as we mentioned earlier, I was driving a car through the desert of Southern California throughout most of this game. So with all transparency, I will reserve my judgments to a later date. Looking at the pitching line, which admittedly doesn't give that much information at the end of the day. Three walks and three strikeouts. I don't love seeing that. We've sort of seen that from Tommy Henry in all of his starts, where he's like walking just as many as he's striking out, which is not really sustainable, like for long-term success. But no, I mean, I haven't watched this game, so I'm not going to like make these enormous statements about how well or not well Tommy Henry pitched. It appears that for a Coors Field start, he was very, very good today. So that's all I'll say on that.
It was reminiscent, not the stuff, I'm not going to say he was like dominant like a Zach Gallen, but it was reminiscent of Zach Gallen's starts where it seemed pretty solid up until the end. It seemed pretty good, and then he got himself into some trouble that Lovullo wanted him kind of to work his way out of, get through that, get through the sixth inning, get those six innings under his belt. And once he started to struggle, you could tell, like, because of the lead, the Diamondbacks had a 7-0 lead at that point. I felt like they were comfortable with letting him stay out there. And again, much like Zach Gallen in those starts where we were screaming for them to take him out of the game, it's like, it's kind of like a forge by fire situation. Staying out there in the heat, letting stuff get uncomfortable, letting you get into a jam and seeing how you work your way out of it. Again, it's really about the development of someone like Tommy Henry. And to an extent, it was about the development of Zach Gallen to kind of get him over that hump. What we've seen lately out of Gallen is that dominant pitcher that can go long in the game, have some that efficiency that allows him to make it into the seventh and eighth inning. And he hasn't been falling apart at the end of his starts, right? But Tommy Henry, again, he's another guy that looks, you know, like he could be a viable option for this team as a part of their starting rotation going forward, which is really what they need, just some stability and to have these young guys be a part of this team and continue their development now at a major league level. There's not a lot as far as pitching prospects go to be excited about left in the, you know, farm system. And it's not to say it's depleted. It's just to say right now, some of the top prospects don't look as sharp as Tommy Henry has looked. And now he's come up and he's done the same thing that I think we saw out of young King Sir Alec Thomas, right? Alec Thomas came up and we just hoped that he didn't, you know, have a rough entry into the bigs. Instead, what we saw was Alec Thomas immediately acclimate himself to the big league level and stay there without having to be sent back down and have that up and down experience that a lot of minor league players go through when they first get called up. Even some of the best prospects in the league have already been sent down once or twice. And you know, I'd love to see Tommy Henry continue to grow, even if he makes mistakes, but stay a part of this team, stay a part of this starting rotation because they really need him.
Yeah. I mean, what I will say about the rotation as a whole right now is that you really feel like you have a shot to win every single game, you know, like Dallas Keuchel just wasn't a major league quality pitcher when he was here. If we're being honest, like the Diamondbacks were majorly behind the eight ball when Dallas Keuchel was on the mound. The numbers make that pretty clear. But with Zach Davies back in the rotation, I know he hasn't been super sharp so far, but he's been like reasonably okay. Yeah. And with Tommy Henry, you know, sticking it out through three starts so far, I don't think we've seen his best stuff. And that's what I'll continue to say about Tommy Henry is, agreed, you know, even if it sounds like I'm saying he hasn't pitched that well, it's more because I really think he's better in some ways than what we've seen so far. But there's no like gaping holes in the rotation. I know Madison Bumgarner is not what he was, right? Not anywhere close to what he was. But with Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, who are at the top of their game right now, both pitching extremely well, and then Mad Bum continuing to be a fairly steady presence, even if he's not what he used to be, he can still give you six innings, you know, most of the time out. And then Tommy Henry and Zach Davies, like holding it down, keeping the Diamondbacks in games day after day, and the offense is starting to look better. I mean, with Emmanuel Rivera suddenly doing what he's doing, this Diamondbacks lineup has a little bit of depth to it that we didn't really see earlier in the season, and it just sort of feels like everything is kind of coming together for them right now. I know 53-61 isn't great, isn't super exciting, but they've been pretty darn good since the All-Star break, and now, Derek, San Francisco, This is a really, really big series for them coming up here.
And what you just said was very important, Jesse. 53-61. Today, the Diamondbacks won one more game than their season total for 2021, right? So
it's wild.
This is a big moment for this team because now I guess the cake has been made and everything from this point is icing on said cake. Anything that they can do, any little achievement that they can win just shows how much they've dug themselves out of the hole that they were in last year. Whether it's that third place in the division and overcoming the San Francisco Giants, whether it's potentially, as crazy as it sounds, even overcoming the Padres, who continue to struggle to find ways to win, even with this monster lineup that they've put together, right? So there are a lot of interesting things here. I sent out a ridiculous graphic today, Jesse, an absolutely absurd graphic of a comic book cover saying, what if the new and improved Arizona Diamondbacks made the playoffs? I don't fucking know. I mean, honestly, you know, I think obviously it doesn't look good. Things don't look good. And that shouldn't be where we get our hopes up to, because then that's a way to get let down pretty quickly. But with the way this season is going and the way this team is playing, we're seeing a much improved team that's definitely finding itself. Emmanuel Rivera, this might be a fleeting moment for him. This just might be the change of scenery thing that kind of puts that extra gas in your tank, right? Maybe not. Maybe Emmanuel Rivera is the Arizona Diamondbacks third baseman, you know, going forward. Maybe Emmanuel Rivera.
That would be wild. You know what I mean?
It would be. Look at this graphic. This is absurd. I made this and I asked myself if I was drunk, but I mean, what if, Jesse, like, who cares if what they do in the playoffs? I mean, the playoffs are very difficult. And at that point, you know, things definitely are not in their advantage. Right. But whatever, putting all of that doubt out the window, it's not to say like it's that far out of this team's grasp. They've have been playing good baseball. You get on a roll against some of these teams that you can beat. Going into a series against some of these more difficult division rivals like the Giants, Padres, and Dodgers. And you never know what that level of confidence, that role that you're on, can do. What we're seeing, at least, is the Diamondbacks attempting to make some changes where they've had faults. Today, Mark Melancon came in as the setup man, and Ian Kennedy came in for the save. It still didn't go great. It still fucking wasn't great. But it just shows that we're adapting. It shows Lavallo is trying to manage this team in a way to win games. It shows that they aren't really just, you know, kind of throwing their hands up about this season, being like, hey, look, we won the same amount. We've already won more games than last year. We're good. It feels like this team is trying to get themselves on the roll. By the way, Jeff Banister as manager, I'm completely on board with as well. Not to say I want to see Torey Lavallo go anywhere, but I believe Banister is undefeated now as manager. So I'm just saying, just throwing that out there, that when our friend Jeff is at the helm, things go well, you know. But this coaching staff has been great. This team has evolved. We've seen this team, you know, it's a small victory, but it's a victory that's worth celebrating. And I hope they are. I hope the fact that they won today one more game than they won all of last season, and they still have half of the month of August left, the entire month of September, and like a week of October to play some more baseball and see what they can do to make this season even more special and dig themselves that much more out of the hole that they were in from last season. Right. But yeah, you know, hey, all I know is again, Emmanuel Rivera is my Lord and Savior. And if you have a moment to talk about him, I'd like to come into your house and preach the good word from the book of Rivera. but speaking of which, by the way, we talked about Josh Rojas. Josh Rojas has been incredible, even though he plunked Dalton Varsho today with a fucking ball he was throwing around. Jesse, I know you didn't get to see that.
I did not see that
video of that. He just hit Dalton Varsho. Like, he actually hurt Dalton Varsho. Our short king almost got injured by Josh Rojas throwing a ball around on the infield in between innings. But nonetheless, it still didn't disqualify him. And there's that. Ketel Marte currently is day-to-day with a hamstring again, which was, of course, definitely an issue for him last year. Varsho was not fucking pleased with Josh Rojas. I'm sure there are words being had, and if not, dinners being bought, but we'll see how that plays out for sure. Still, though, like I was saying, it didn't disqualify him from being our DraftKings king of the series, because he had his incredible series, .462 batting average, had a hit in every single game, two runs scored, five RBI in that home run. Just big things for this guy, and Josh Rojas continues to be a spark plug for this team.
.462 batting average, five RBIs, one home run, and one errant throw at Dalton Varsho's head. There you go.
He was on the, I don't know what they call it, but he was on the program with Mark Grace where they do the sit down, I think, at Oregano's and do a chat.
Yeah.
And the conversation, Jesse, turned towards fights. And let me tell you, I have rarely seen somebody that, like, visually on screen, just based on their demeanor, did I think that guy wants to fight someone really bad more than Josh Rojas, because when they got into the topic, they started discussing penalties and like not only like suspensions, but financial penalties. And Mark Grace was given the old, back in my day, it was $500 and no time off of games. Nowadays, it's like blah, blah, blah. And Josh Rojas had this look in his eye, like, I want to play in your day just to fight people. Like, that's what Josh Rojas looked. And I really, no, we don't want to bring up Josh Rojas's numbers with runners in scoring position and two out, Michael. You know why we don't want to bring that up, but come on. He has been very good for this team. And especially in this series, he was pretty incredible and incredulous with that that throw that he made that hit his friend Dalton Varsho, who I don't know if they're friends anymore, but we'll see how that develops.
Yeah. Todd Walsh with Bally Sports did tweet that Dalton Varsho did not have a concussion and is already penciled into tomorrow's lineup. So from an injury standpoint, things are looking good there. But
that's Josh Rojas is who that's good for.
It is. Yes. More than anyone else. But yeah. And he also did say that Ketel Marte is day to day with that hamstring, which is really unfortunate. I only heard this part on the radio broadcast, but anytime you hear about Ketel Marte, kind of dragging on the base paths or stopping up short, you kind of know that it's that hamstring that's probably being reaggravated. And that's just really unfortunate. That's been sort of an ongoing issue for Ketel for a few years now. And the Diamondbacks really can, they really need him in the lineup every day. So hopefully he's able to stay healthy and this is more of a short-term thing.
Today's win, Jesse, is the first series win by the Arizona Diamondbacks over the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field since about this time in 2020. So in about 2 years, it's the first time. It was August 10th through the 12th, 2020. So it's been a long time since they had a series win in Colorado, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they haven't played that well against the Rockies this year, I want to say they're 5-6 against the Rockies now. I might be a game off with that.
This is their second consecutive series win, but yeah, I think you could be right about that, or pretty close. But
yeah,
again, it shows that this team is definitely on rolling in the right direction. They have 74 road home runs now, which is fourth most in the National League. So this team, and they have a winning record at home at Chase Field, which again has been rare in the past. In the last few years, they've been pretty bad at Chase Field. So there's a lot of positive.
They're 10-3 since the All-Star break at home. They've been playing really, really good baseball at Chase Field lately.
Yeah. So, but still, regardless, currently 27 games back in the division, Jesse. Whatever you want to say, it doesn't matter, because the Dodgers just can't lose, even though they finally did lose today. So that's a good thing. Anytime the rest of the division loses, it's a good thing for the Diamondbacks. But, of course, our DraftKings King of the Series brought to you by our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. If you haven't done so already, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use our code of PHNX. Download that app and use our code, and you will get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. And, Jesse, my bets did not hit. As a matter of fact, I tracked this all weekend long, and not one time did the over hit in this series against the Colorado Rockies. So I'm throwing my entire playbook out the window, basically, is what I'm saying at this point. But it's called halftime adjustments, right? Yeah, sure, I'm down 30, but I've been down 30 before. Clear the lane. I close deficits in a hurry. But again, go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code of PHNX, make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code PHNX only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And yes, all of my future bets will be on Emmanuel Rivera based on how he played in the series going forward, because that's what this podcast is now. It's an Emmanuel Rivera podcast. I don't know if you're joining us late and you missed that early on. We're changing all of the, this thing in the background, that's going to be different. We're going to get new logos and stuff, but we'll get that to work very soon.
Our graphics department really hates us right now because we're really scrapping.
They're like, what do you mean you're changing all of the branding? That doesn't make any sense. And we're like, them's the rules. I don't know. But of course, also go to our friends at Foco.com, which are hooking you up with the finest in collectibles. Of course, they're hooking Jesse's dog up with, of course, only the best license, collars and clothing for his dog. But get down on the Foco merch, of course. We are partnering with them, and they are a leader in sports merchandise and collectibles. They have you covered with the best Arizona sports merchandise, officially licensed gear for men, women, Jesse's dogs, kids, everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. We've been talking about the bobbleheads, and there's the graphics team. They will not be changing the graphics. All graphic changes will be denied, but that's why we have deep meetings, but we'll figure it out. Of course, head over to Foco.com or click the link below in the description for all non-presale items. Use the promo code PHNX and you will get 10% off. And of course, if you have that bobblehead shaped hole in your heart, you can go to Foco.com and get that filled. By the way, we're going to talk about it a little bit more on tomorrow's episode because somebody asked what was going on with the bobbleheads. And it is wild to find out, Jesse, how many bobbleheads from the 2020 season are still just sitting around in storage areas at ballparks around the country. Just
really
millions, Jesse, millions of bobbleheads are just in boxes in storage areas. They have 2020 printed on them. They have nothing that they can do with them. I'm sure that, like, I don't know if you've been to the Diamondbacks like yard sale. I'm sure that's the kind of stuff that at the fan fest that the Diamondbacks typically have. They have a yard sale where they'll sometimes sell their like giveaway items for not very much, like $5 or whatever. It's the t-shirts and bobbleheads and such. And I'm sure that stuff will find its way over there or to some sort of event like that. But it's very interesting. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow, how that I think factors in to why there were no bobbleheads for the Diamondbacks, but bobbleheads for some of the other teams around baseball, which I know seems very unfair. Trust me, I'm furious about it myself. So Chris Melton says, I got a voucher for my Merc bobblehead. Is that Mercury? You need to clarify here. This is a baseball podcast, all right?
I do believe that is Mercury, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure, but I don't want to assume anything around here. And as most of you know, I'm not very smart. But Jesse, there's good news. We talked about the Dodgers losing. Anything bad that happens in the NL West is good for us. And something very bad happened to the Padres with Fernando Tatis Jr. being suspended for 80 games. Want to speak on this, or do we want to talk about his teammates speaking on this? Which way would you like to go first?
I mean, it's not normal in this sport to hear players kind of take shots at their teammates. Like, it is very rare, even in situations where you kind of feel like those teammates deserve it a little bit. Most of the time in these sorts of situations, teammates still speak pretty positively about each other, and they
try to pick each other up
and move on. And
yeah.
Usually it's a pretty supportive kind of a mindset, but Derek, the Padres have come out, and like Manny Machado and Mike Clevinger, hearing their reaction to the news about Tatis, it's basically like, hey, we haven't had this guy the whole year. Like, he hasn't been here and we don't need him. And we've gotten this far without him, and we can go where we want to go without him. And that's sort of been the general mindset from the Padres players that have spoken on this so far. And I just found that mind blowing. I mean, there's some serious tension in that clubhouse. I know we saw some high tension moments last season in the dugout from time to time. But it seems like a lot of that is still there, and it all seems to revolve around Fernando Tatis. And the guy seems relatively immature. I mean, that's just sort of the narrative that it's hard to argue your way out of that from what some of the things that we've heard about this incident. So it's an absolute disaster for the Padres. I mean, there's no getting around that. It's a disaster in pretty much every possible way you could imagine.
Clutch Canuck said they didn't even sound disappointment. It was like fed up. Motion says that Tatis contract isn't looking too good for them now. I mean, they absolutely.
I still like. I don't know if I can even say that. Like, have you guys looked at Tatis's career numbers lately? Like, when he is on the field, he is insane. Like, his production level is absolutely insane. I mean, so it's
you're just saying
40 stolen bases, it's 40 home runs. Yeah. It's just like the guy needs to grow up a little bit. And that's sort of the feel that I get from the Padres clubhouse. Like, you can't question that Tatis is like one of the best players in the game. There's really no debating that at this point. His numbers speak for themselves, but he's just not staying on the field, and he's not staying on the field for some pretty stupid reasons that are frustrating his teammates right now.
Gabriel in the comments says it's hard not to be angry when he's breaking his wrist on a motorcycle than to be suspended for the rest of the year and next part of the next.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, he was banned for Clostebol. I think that's how you Clostebol, which is a steroid. It's a testosterone and classified as a steroid. So again, it's a PED. There's a good chance that the reason why he was taking this was to recover from that injury. There's a chance that he might've thought that maybe, you know, maybe I don't know how long it stays in your system. I don't know what, maybe he thought while he was out injured, he could bounce back from this. Typically these kind of performance enhancing drugs are kind of a shortcut to come back from an injury for some guys. Not always the case, because we know why anybody would want to get a competitive advantage. Here's the thing, though. Fernando Tatis, his entire career, has tried to find ways to get a competitive advantage. One of the talking points prior to this was how he was one of these guys that got essentially like a loan from a company that finances you and then takes a percentage of your future earnings after financing you as a low-level baseball player to have money so you can have a good life, you know, so you can have a car and you can have, you know, like what he said.
What was Tatis's signing bonus again?
Oh yeah, no, I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's just one of those things that, who knows, you never know with a guy like that if the investment that he made in himself was the reason why he ended up being the player that he is, the player you describe, the player that got the contract that he got, right? But the point I'm trying to make is, obviously there is a pattern of him doing whatever it takes to try to be at the best that he can be, right? So this is another case of that. And it's another case of kind of doing it foolishly without thinking of the impact, without thinking of how it's going to impact your team, how it's going to impact your timeout. It's stupid. And I can understand his teammates being a little fed up with him after those events have occurred, and that's what's kept you out of the game for this long and what's going to keep you out of the game going forward for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, I did look. So Tatis's signing bonus was $700,000, which, as far as signing bonuses go, is actually, I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's not a crazy amount of money. So
I can
understand why he, you know, took out these loans and like invested in this company to give him some, you know, a better life on the front end to try to bet on his future in the long run. I could sort of see that, but regardless, I mean,
we've talked about it, right? There's the difference of a minor league player that does get that signing bonus that then can afford those luxuries versus those that can't, right? And those that can't definitely can fall back behind, because not only is it a matter of not getting proper nutrition because you can't even afford to eat good food, you're kind of forced to kind of eat like junk food and shit based on the amount of money that you make. But there's also the things that set Tatis apart, like being able to hire a personal trainer when you're at that level of baseball, which most other players aren't able to do, or like a fit, you know, someone, a dietitian that teaches you how to eat right.
Yeah.
And like, he focused, when he was asked about it, he focused a lot on that. Right. But some people can view that as predatory, the way that these guys kind of take advantage of these ball players that don't make that much money, that, and they're trying to get them to commit a percentage of future earnings that they don't really think, they're not thinking ahead about those future earnings or how much that percentage essentially could be going forward. But I don't know, as far as scams go, this company's got it nailed, right? Like, and I shouldn't even call it a scam, because there's lots of investment things like this out there. There's lots of loans. There's lots of stuff out there for people that can't afford, you know, to do the things that they want to do, whether it's buy a house or car or anything else, right? This is, once again, an investment in yourself as a commodity, you know, and I get it. Gabriel says scouts and personnel have always raved about how fast Tatis would heal. I'm yoring you on that one. That's not how heal spelled, but maybe we know how he was able to now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like me, a guy that has terrible grammar, getting someone else. I need to nail someone else when I can, Jesse. I'm sorry. But of course, this might impact the NL West. It's going to impact the NL West. I think that this is going to be just another one of those distracting factors for the Padres. But who knows? Maybe this galvanizes the guys that are on the team right now and brings them together. Hopefully that's not the case, because the Diamondbacks have lots of games left on the schedule against the Padres. But right now, all that matters is the All-City Division, which the Diamondbacks, once again, kind of got some space between the Colorado Rockies, and we're catching up a little bit on those White Sox that have been doing pretty good themselves. But yep, Diamondbacks now have a winning record versus All-City teams, going 8-7, and that 53-61 record looks pretty good right about now, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, it looks a lot better than, you know, 52-110 are like what it looked like a couple weeks ago. So yeah. We're definitely moving. We're moving in the right direction. But right yeah, direction. I mean, they're 5.5 games behind the White Sox. So, you know, it's a reasonable gap. You can close a 5.5 game gap in a month and a half. So Jesse, who knows?
Are you suggesting that we are climbing up Mount 500?
I guess so. I guess that's what I'm suggesting.
Are we making that march? She's gonna hate me for doing this, but I'm doing it. Oh, it's not Cattell though. We probably needed Baxter on that one. But the Diamondbacks making that march up the hill, right? So, of course, as we look ahead, the Diamondbacks do have a very difficult schedule. That's a good one. All right.
There well, it is.
I don't know how much they're going to get ahead, because the schedule ahead is very tough for this team. And
That's the end. It's the end of the nice, you know, not so hard part of the schedule.
That's the
but
prelude.
The Giants are beatable. The Giants are beatable. And the Diamondbacks, I believe, are 6-3 against the Giants this season. And I also misspoke earlier. The Diamondbacks, I do think, are 8-8 now against the Rockies on the season. This ESPN thing, I'm a little bit unsure of if it updated already or if it's going to update tonight, but I believe the Diamondbacks are 8-8 now against the Rockies, and yes, they have been 6-3 against the Giants on the season. So D-backs have played them pretty tough this season.
Clutch Canuck says the September schedule does depress me, as it does me, but they wrap up this road trip with 3 more against the Giants. Then they welcome the Cardinals here at home at Chase Field next weekend, and our friend Paul Goldschmidt. Of course. And then they go back on the road against the Kansas City Royals and the White Sox before facing the Phillies. So it's kind of a weird, like, short home stand, short road trip again, and then back here for games against the Phillies. So a lot of traveling in the schedule ahead for the Diamondbacks. They sat on the tarmac apparently for game one, which they lost, for 7 hours. And our friend Patrick Lyons attributed that win a bit to them sitting on the tarmac for 7 hours. Jesse, have you ever sat on the tarmac for that long?
I have sat on the tarmac for 5 hours. I have never sat on the tarmac for 7 hours, but it was brutal. It was when I was living in Seattle, and I was actually flying to Phoenix, and when it snows in Seattle, everyone, nobody knows what to do. Like, it's akin to like
when it rains here, right? When it rains here.
No yeah. Problem. Yeah. Something like that. There was some snow on the ground that day. And so my flight was on time. We all got to the airport on time. We boarded the airplane on time. And then we just sat in the airplane for 5 hours while they tried to like de-ice the wings, which apparently was quite an undertaking. But yeah, 7 hours is another level. That's brutal stuff that the Diamondbacks went through.
It's heartbreaking that when you need OGs the most, you can't have them. But again, our friend OGs try to get you through those tough times. And by the way, shout out to OGs, because they love me, Jesse. They love me on Twitter. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I'm such a fan of theirs. It's a reciprocal relationship, but I love our friends at OGs. I love them because their gummies are so good. They have the variety of flavors, and they're all about flavoring life. And they're about flavoring your life with our Flavoring Life sweepstakes. I said Flavoring Life way too many times in that sentence, but I have no regrets about it at all. You can go to our website over at gophnx.com, enter right now at our Flavoring Life sweepstakes, and you will get your chance to win yourself some goodies. Not only are they going to give you a whole bunch of free gummies, they're going to give you 3 bags. Yes, 3 bags of orange creamsicle and tropical flavors. You're going to get this OG's hat, a PHNX shirt of your choice and a PHNX annual membership. Sign up at gophnx.com or click the link below in our show notes. Check out OGs online at ogsbrands.com or on Instagram at ogsbrands. That's O-G-E-E-Z. And find them wherever you get your local edibles, because they are the top selling edible here in the state of Arizona. Of course, you can find their products at your local dispensary. Must be 21 years or older to purchase. And also, I've been sitting here this whole time enjoying a Hop Knot IPA. It's going to get, the glare is going to get that one, but it's, of course, my favorite. Open shirt, Derek, not included in the OG sweepstakes. Thank you for that disclaimer. I'm kind of mad Jesse Max didn't put that. That should be part of the disclaimer. No, you don't. No, I do not come with the giveaway. Nor does the lady that I don't know in that picture. But of course, you do get those three bags of OGs. So it's worth entering for sure, as well as that membership. And we're also giving you a membership on behalf of our friends at our favorite beer company in the world, Four Peaks Brewing Company. Go get down on Four Peaks. Go to gophnx.com. Become a member of our website, by the way, while you're there. And then while you're there, also enter both of our sweepstakes. Enter the Toast of the Month sweepstakes, where you will get a $50 Four Peaks gift card, a PHNX shirt of your choice, an annual membership, as well as our love and affection for being our Toast of the Month winner. Go to gophnx.com or click the link below in the show notes. Must be 21 years or older and enjoy responsibly. And I am enjoying this one very responsibly. Cheers to the Arizona Diamondbacks winning yet another series. And us, Jesse, getting to actually be here to enjoy a series win, which we don't get to very often. Chief Crazy Buffalo, which is an incredible name, says 26 games versus the four teams ahead of us for the last two wildcard spots. So if we win most of those games, we are in good shape. Just saying, crazier things happen end of season. Emma, throw the comic book graphic back up there. Just saying. What if, Jesse? What if the all-new, all-different D-backs made the playoffs? I'm just saying, what if?
All right. Let's play along here. So the Diamondbacks, as of right now, are 10 games out of the wild card as of this moment. They're trailing the Philadelphia Phillies. They have two teams between them and the last wild card spot, those being the San Francisco Giants. There's a four-game series coming up. That smells like opportunity. And then you've got the Milwaukee Brewers, who are 8.5 games in front of the Diamondbacks. So the Brewers are sort of right on the brink right now. There's not that many teams, Derek. Like, after the Giants, there's only, I guess you would have to hop over two more teams after the San Francisco Giants, and you are 10 games behind one of those teams, 8.5 games behind the other one of those teams. That's a lot of ground to make up in a month and a half. I mean, that's it's a lot of ground to make up.
I got pretty heavy on this side, Jesse. You weighed me down.
It's a lot of ground, but yeah, I mean, it's cool that like we're even able to have this conversation, right? And the Diamondbacks have come out in the second half and have played some really, really good baseball so far. And yeah, a lot of people have pointed out like, hey, they could win these series to close out August. Like, they could at least split all of these series. And they're right. Like, the D-backs schedule the rest of the way is one of the most difficult in baseball, if not the most difficult. But it's not like you're playing the Dodgers every time out, right? Like, the Cardinals are a beatable team. The Phillies are a beatable team. So the Diamondbacks still have a lot of opportunity here. And with how they've played over the last few weeks, you got to feel about as good about it as you could possibly imagine at this point.
Well said. And again, remember to check out Jesse's, not only his wonderful articles, but that amazing video that not only did he contribute to, but so many people here at PHNX. Big shout out to Faj, Father Overlord Jacob, and High School Rock, aka Sean DePaz, for all of their help and all of their support with that. Also, big shout out to Dalton Varsho, Tyler Gilbert, and Tori Lavolo for participating in our recap.
Yeah,
his perfect game, or not perfect game, his no hitter. It's not a perfect game. He gave up a walk right away. What am I saying? It was the very first thing that happened. And you'd know that if you went and watched that video. So make sure to check that out. Gabriel Ferrer in the comments says, with Corbin Carroll coming up in September, they might split a lot of September series. Who knows? They also have a bit of a logjam there with Jake McCarthy playing so well, which is something we didn't really talk about today. But McCarthy was excellent in the outfield for the Diamondbacks defensively. And once again, gives them a lot of hard decisions. And let's be honest, I mean, you know, there's going to be some pieces that are going to probably end up being moved. So as long as guys keep playing well, there's a good chance the Diamondbacks could make some moves to, you know, maybe add some depth in some of these other areas that they don't have such a logjam in like they did the outfield. I think that's what brought us Emmanuel Rivera. And I have heard lots of things from Royals fans that are pretty sad about seeing him over here now become, you know, the subject of this podcast, and you know, everything we live and breathe and die for is Emmanuel Rivera. But that's just, you know, that's I get that. We're usually on the other end of that. So again, we won that trade per me. I'm calling it. It's done. We thank you guys so much for joining us. Make sure to check out that video and everything we do. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you being here. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. This show is at @PHNX_DBacks, where you can find all of our ridiculous memes, thoughts, and excitement during games. But all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Again, we thank you guys so much for joining us. On behalf of Jesse and myself, we appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you're Emmanuel Rivera.